Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Colby.
And we're from Paranormal Task Force.
And you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 9. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, YouTube, Rock Paper Podcast, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher now to download all these awesome episodes. Our guest this week is Colby and Jeremy. I almost forgot your name. I do that really bad when I do intros. I always forget things, so bear with me. Colby and Jeremy of the Paranormal Task Force. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So this, I think, is going to be pretty freaking awesome, because I've never talked with anybody who's like actually gone, and me and my buddies have gone and like looked for ghosts and, like, you know, whatever, but you guys actually are doing it for real, legitimate. That's pretty awesome. So how did Paranormal Task Force get started?
It started as Missouri Paranormal Research, and it was founded by a group who was having a... There was actually one member who was having severe problems at their house, and as it evolved, they changed the name and gave us more like a paramilitary vibe. Not that we attack the ghosts, because...
I mean, but if you could... I mean, if it has to go down, you guys are right.
Right, yeah.
If it comes to it, we're peaceful people, but...
We try and respect the dead. But,
I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot you can do if it goes down. I mean, they're kind of dead,
right? Right. You know, it's not like we have unlicensed nuclear accelerators.
Not yet, right? Oh, that's awesome. So, how long has it been? How long has it been going? You said
2005 is when they were founded.
Okay, gotcha. Now there's, and I'm from Winsville. Where do you guys base out at? Like,
Kind of the St. Louis area. St. Louis, okay. We're all kind of spaced out. Me and him are in this area, and then we have people all the way down to like, what would that be? Arnold. We have people that live in St. Louis. Some in Alton.
Because I've come driving through Wentzville, and even O'Fallon sometimes, there's somebody with a Ghostbuster car decked out. Have you got, is that anything with
Dodge
you guys?
No, that's not us.
Okay, yeah, I'm just curious. So I was like, I've seen it, and I wonder if these guys, I'm just curious. I've just drove by, and I think one time there was something at work, and people thought something was going on. And they saw the Ghostbuster car outside, and they're like, this is just crazy, but I was just curious. So that's awesome. So so let's kind of go into the process of when you guys get like a case, or how do you guys come about? Basically, do people notify you and say, hey, this is what's going on, or how does
Yeah, we have they can go online to our website, and there's a form that they fill out online. They send it in. One of our managers will go through it, send out an email, say, hey, here's what we have. We have kind of different. We have case managers and lead investigators. We'll send it out to a case manager. They'll look at it, and we will contact the person.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pretty lengthy questionnaire that we kind of go through and ask them questions. And at the end of that, it's basically up to that case manager or lead investigator to decide whether it's worth pursuing further, or the person,
it could be handled sometimes without our intervention.
Right.
And then there's other times where we get them and we're like, okay, you need professional help. You don't need our help. You need professional help.
Yeah.
So we get all types. It's interesting. It's a lot of fun talking to the different people and some people think it's cool.
Right.
Like, hey, man, my house is haunted, and this is what I got going down. Another person's like, get me out of here. Can you come here tomorrow?
I'm moving because of this.
Yeah. Right. They got to change their whole lives around because something's going on. That's funny. Well, that's what I was wondering, because, like, you'd think that there could be people that, I mean, just submit. I mean, they hear something and find out it's just their cat, but they're going to fill out this whole thing. And so, yeah, I was just wondering if you guys go through and actually kind of
all the time
look through it, because...
And even going through that questionnaire sometimes doesn't weed people out. Jeremy and I had one a couple of years ago where we were so deep down out in the country. I mean, we heard the banjos playing.
I saw a stripped out, like, 3-year-old Cadillac, and I'm like, dude, we're in a dangerous area.
We're going to pull up to some meth house and get shot.
Right.
But we didn't, thank goodness. But, you know, so we get there, and
They
had seen every possible type of ghost, every type
of chupacabra,
possible cryptozoological creature,
alien abduction.
Clark Kent lives out there.
Yeah, so sometimes that form doesn't quite work, but most of the time, you know, you can tell if they're being honest about the issues they have, and
right.
or if they're kind of pulling your chain and just wanting some attention and want to see how a ghost. Paranormal investigation works, and they just want to see people come in. Yeah,
I gotcha. So, what kind of personally for you two got kind of what made you want to get into being a ghost? Like, what was it? Okay, this is what I want to go and pursue. You know, what was there a moment, or is it like growing up? Because obviously, like, I think there's something exciting that whether it's people like to get scared, and that's what kind of draws them into like ghost hunting and things like that, or just they're genuinely fascinated with the whole process. What was it kind of for you guys that?
For me, it's all of it. I grew up in a haunted house. I used to tell my dad I'd see an old lady walking around, and he didn't believe me until I was like 10, and we went to like camp, and he was there by himself, and he saw her and searched the whole house with a shotgun. And, you know, so I'd always grown up with it. Like, I couldn't get my dog in the basement, and it scared me, but as an adult, it's more exciting. But there's also that I like to help the people, because most of the people we help, they don't want us to get rid of it. They just want to know that they're not crazy.
What's going on,
So that, for me...
Mine was kind of a gradual thing. I didn't grow up in a house that had ghosts in or anything like that. I grew up in West Central Illinois. My grandparents lived out in the country, and there was a cemetery.
Where banjos played.
Right was across. It your place that you guys were checking out? Yeah. You didn't honestly fill out the form and said, come check this out.
No. So there was a cemetery across the road, and growing up, I always thought I would see stuff out there, or I'd go walking out there, think I'd hear stuff, but I just pretty much blew it off. And then when I just started dating my wife, we went to a local community college, and there was a lady that had written a book about some haunted areas where I grew up, and... one of the first places she talked about was the cemetery across from my grandparents' house. So I'd always kind of been interested in it and always kind of wondered, but once I found out that I wasn't totally crazy, then then I kind of got in contact with her and started learning the ropes, and it all just kind of went from there.
Yeah, it's really become kind of, not mainstream, but like there's a lot of stuff that's really kind of opened to the doors. I think probably you guys have noticed it.
Absolutely.
Have brought it instead of just, back, years ago when it was just like, you're going to doing what? Now there are people seeing, they're like, oh, wow, that's a legitimate,
Right. Most of the reactions are, wow, you guys are nuts. And then you walk around and they come back and they're like, hey, can I tell you this story? It's like, wait a second. I thought it was nuts. Now you have a story. Okay, cool. Let's hear.
Yeah.
You were talking about your grandparents' house and the cemetery being close to home, and that's kind of how, for me, like, it sparked my interest, because a lot of this stuff is close to home, being like the Exorcist house in St. Louis and...
Limp.
Yeah, Limp and all this. There's a lot of, famous, noted... paranormal stuff in the area, and
absolutely.
Zombie Road, not far away. Oh,
I was down there the other day.
Is that the one where there's like a documentary about it, like the kids, like there's something, a documentary I saw, it was in St. Louis, where like somebody took a picture and you take the shadows of the kids or something in the woods. I don't know if that's...
That was our team. That was our team.
Oh, wow.
Actually, Tom passed away a year ago on Valentine's Day, but he took that picture.
Oh, wow.
And that picture is the reason that documentary happened. They came across that picture, and they're like, oh, we need to go to this place.
Yeah, me and my buddy, I remember from college, we were watching it, and this was years ago. But that was one, we were just like, when he came down, because he's from Kansas City, he's like, let's go check someplace out in St. Louis. Is there anything? And we didn't ever go, but we we're looking to see what kind of places in St. Louis, and came across that documentary, and I think we downloaded and checked it out. That's awesome. Like,
it's pretty.
But that's intense. Gnarly. That
yeah, it's all pretty intense. Good. I mean that's a good one. I've always personally been interested in Lent Mansion. I mean, I've been there 30 plus times. I've stayed there numerous times. The first time I went there because when I was in fourth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Eaton, my fourth grade teacher, told us ghost stories about Lent Mansion.
Yeah.
And I think at the time it was just opening maybe it had only been open a little while as a bed and breakfast in a restaurant. And I remember her telling me about that stuff. And so I remember my 11th birthday, my parents took me there and we walked around and we got scared. And it was great because the place is enormous. And, you know, it's a big history point for St. Louis, you know, with the brewery and all.
Yeah.
And now I've been there. I've the craziest thing I saw there was a blue glowing man, and we make a joke about this blue glow being paranormal blue. Like, we're going to get that license through Crayola. It was blue paranormal glow.
Blue crayon.
And he had no head and no feet, and he walked right past me. He was in my view for 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds, and he walked right past me, and it was so detailed. I could see he was wearing like a waistcoat and had a pocket watch and he had cufflinks and everything, but no head.
I mean, just
and it. Allegedly the sensitive lady, and I'm not very hip on the sensitive side, but the sensitive lady said it was Charles Limp who was the one who killed his dog and then shot himself in the heart. Wow. So. Yeah, it's pretty, you know, that's the kind of things that we run into. I mean,
yeah. Well, it's great. I mean, I've had a lot of friends who've gone down, and sometimes I feel like it's almost, it's because they kind of market that place as like, oh, come to Haunt, stay here, you know? And I think that's kind of like, I think almost sometimes puts a bad taste in people's mouth because they're expecting, oh, we're going to see everything. And, you know, if you market it and just say, yeah, this is where stuff happens, come, like, I kind of feel like it probably takes some of the,
yeah, you know, and that's the thing. People think, you know, because of the TV shows, because, you know, we'll just say Ghost Hunters.
Right.
You know, because they have something that happens, you know, every episode. Well, they're at a location for like 7 days.
Yeah.
When we go do an investigation, we're there from anywhere from 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, 90% of the time, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to make our own entertainment because otherwise we are sitting there in the dark, bored out of our minds.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times nothing happens, and people expect, you know, because we do overnight, you know, the Paranormal Task Force does, you know, overnights where people come into these different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's active, sometimes it's not. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So that's one of the things that, you know, people that you're doing it for the first time and nothing happens, you know, they come away disappointed, and you're like, that sucked, and I paid, you know, nothing happened. And
right.
Well, it doesn't always happen, you know, when we go on private investigations, you know, until we get home and start going through, you know, the pictures or the audio recordings or the
video,
DVD player video, you know, a lot of times our evidence comes from that and we have very few personal experiences.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if you looked at some of the, like, just the overall footage from like those ghost shows, I mean, you'd probably see a lot of downtime, like, nothing's going on, you know? It's just, I mean, TV gets that nice luxury of editing things into a half hour, hour segment where it looks like, holy cow, they came out here and everything happened all at once, when in reality, it's like those guys were there, like you said.
It's a continuity thing. They make it look like they're there for a day, and then they make it look like it only took them, like, the next day to look through the footage. If you look, you know, we have 8 cameras on our DVR system. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to review each one of those cameras separately. If you take 8 hours times 8 cameras, that's 48 hours of footage. And I personally can't sit and watch footage more than probably an hour at a time. And an hour is probably pushing it because you start to wander. And
you're
like, oh, what was that noise?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a noise back here now, you know?
Yeah.
Or my dog just walked in. I don't have. So it takes us weeks to go through that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know if I'm sitting looking at something for too long, I'm like, what just happened in the last 15 minutes? I wasn't even, like, zoned in. And then, you know.
And then you gotta go back and you're like, where do I remember seeing something? Well, I've been staring at this blank screen. Let's just guess. I mean, nothing's happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always make the joke that we're weird because we sit in the dark by ourselves and we talk to ourselves, and then we go home and we watch it. You know, when you say it like that, it's funny, but that's essentially what we really do. And everybody thinks that we're like in there with proton packs,
right? Yeah,
and we're really not. I mean, we really just sit in a corner and you're observing and you're listening.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really boring sometimes.
So it's probably made out to be a lot more glamorous than it actually is,
right?
Because of that stuff. So when you guys go into like a case or something, when you're actually at the location investigating, what kind of stuff do you set up, or what's your kind of process for? I'm sure it varies from different.
It really depends on you. It varies, and he's more. He used to be more of a tech guy. I'm low tech, but always we do a sweep for EMF. What we're looking for is like EMF spikes. You know, is this hot? Because, you know, high EMF just in general can cause hallucinations. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to eliminate that type of thing. You know, do you see a hole where a squirrel or a raccoon could crawl in? And then once you do that, you know, we have DVR systems, we have handheld video cameras, digital cameras, you know, still photography, digital audio recorders. There's a couple of guys who still use tape audio recorders. I mean, there's so many different things that they're out there now, like tool wise but essentially we use the EMF detectors, but we have like 10 different kinds, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's
yeah. And I used to be the type of guy that when I was really into it hot and heavy, I had my own group in East Central Illinois around Champaign, and and I mean, like, oh man, I got to buy one of those, and I need that. Oh, that's only $250. That's a steal. Give me that one too.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and then so you have all this equipment, and then, but none of it is scientifically validated. Right. You know,
and you're staring at the equipment, instead of paying attention.
And yeah. and so I got rid. I grew up, I guess, and basically sold that equipment. And now, I basically have my video camera, my auto recorder, mm-hmm. and a flash camera, and that's really
all I use too.
Yeah, well, it almost sounds like it's better to have more basic stuff than like a big elaborate setup, because it's gonna you're spend half the time getting set up and whatever that you're just
the DVR system time, sometimes really. Takes so long to set up. And I mean, we've kind of got it down, but it's not. You know, putting the camera here and putting it on here and hitting record, you've got to get the cords out of the way. Yeah, and it's, you know, like running cords and taping cords down and then breaking down. That's what really takes the time. And then I feel bad sometimes, because if we're there for 7 or 8 hours, you know, 2 hours of that sometimes is set up and breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, if we had just come in with just a few cameras, but then you're not catching the evidence that they want,
right.
Which is essential for, that's essentially why we use the DVR system, is we are trying to catch that evidence, and it's not for us to have fun, it's for us to, specifically speaking in a private case.
Yeah.
But we're trying to catch evidence to validate what they have happen. Because most of the time, they just want to know that this is happening and they're not crazy.
Yeah. Do you ever have to, like, kick the people? Like, do you let them? I mean, because I'm sure they're like, well, wait, what shouldn't you do this? Or shouldn't you check here? Or shouldn't you, like, do you ever just, like, get out? Okay, we're trying to work here. Like.
And clients can be, I mean, they a lot of times can be, and I mean, it's their house. Mm-hmm. You know, so they want to be there.
Right.
Which we understand, but we have to have our space to be able to do our stuff.
Right.
You know, if there's a garage or someplace, or you can go hang, they can go hang out at the neighbors, you know, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had them drag their friends in.
Yeah. or so they're sitting out on their deck and we're inside the house. And they keep coming in the kitchen to get more beer.
Right, yeah, they're on barbecue.
I mean, it just keeps coming in, and you're just like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, so, I mean, they want to be there. They have every right to be there. Most of the clients are great, and they understand when we tell them, hey, you know, we need to be quiet. You know, the only people we want in the house are the investigators, because we usually do, you know, teams of four,
mm-hmm.
and two at a time go in. You know, we track where we're at, You know, so if we separate, if it's a two-story house, somebody goes upstairs, somebody goes downstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, we know where everybody's at in the house, and then right. you know. But sometimes you'll have somebody sneak in a side door, back yeah. door, and you don't know it, and then you start freaking out because you're hearing footsteps,
right?
And,
yeah,
and glasses rattling, and, yeah. and then you think game on, and you go in there, and you know Joe's yeah. pouring himself a Jack and Coke, and
yeah. you guys found anything yet?
Exactly.
Can I come down and check it out? No, just stay away, man.
I think you're sleep drinking, sir.
Yeah. This isn't even your house, sir. What are you doing here? Get out of here.
Yeah, that's actually happened too.
Yeah. I saw a cool van out front, thought I'd come check it out.
Yep.
No. How about no? So what's the craziest thing you guys have come across?
Paranormally?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, so I've come across more crazy people than I have. Probably
people are like more nuts sometimes than what you come across, but is there anything that's like the idea of what you come across? You're like, this is the biggest thing we've kind of...
I think the craziest thing I saw was when we were shooting the documentary for the Exorcist house. And there was the room is literally like a 10 by 10 bedroom in mm-hmm. a house built in like the 1920s. Everything's small. It's a small three bedroom house. I can't imagine it's more than like 1,100 square feet. You know, yeah. even being a that's probably being big. I mean, it was tiny.
Yeah.
And there's like 10 people in the room. And Greg, who's the president of the team, is getting burned. Is actually on his left side. He was getting burned on his neck. And nothing was touching him. And they had a military thermal imager reading on his neck above 300 degrees. And it burned a white cross on his neck.
Wow.
And, like, I remember I was standing next to Tom, the member who passed away, and we were making jokes about it because sometimes he gets stressed out and he's got anxiety and he flushes, but it was just this part of his neck. And right. then he started saying stuff about it, and I got him really tight on his neck, and it was crazy. I mean, it blistered, and it was gone in a few hours. Hmm. And it was like, whoa, that's really weird. Because yeah. they had the thermal imager, and they could see the heat source on his neck, but we're all standing there, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty wild.
The funnest one I had was at Ohio State Reformatory in mm-hmm. Mansfield, Ohio, where it's where Shawshank Redemption was filmed at.
Oh, good.
And it was also the Russian prison in Air Force One. Mm. So at the start of the night, they go take you through with all the lights on, and in the rotunda, there's two wings, you know, off to the right and left, and this big round rotunda in the middle, mm-hmm. and they have like part of the tunnel, you know, that Timothy, what's his name? Robbins.
Yeah.
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Crawled out at the end of the movie, and then they had the picture of Lenin and Stalin from Air Force One, and I was standing there, and at the back of my group, and the nearest person was probably 10 foot away, and then somebody whispered hello in my right ear, and I turn around and say hello back, and there's nobody, absolutely nobody near me.
Yeah.
And then later that night... me and a guy from Kentucky were standing down in solitary, and our light flashed out at the end. This is 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and there weren't very many people left. And we saw a figure standing down at the end of one of the hallways, because it's only like eight cells long yeah. on both sides. And we said, "Who are you? Are you with the group?" And then they turned and went. So each of us went down the hallway. He went left, I went right, got down to the end, and there was nobody there. And wow. So that was fun. It was fun.
Jeez. Has there been anything where you're like, screw this, I'm done. Not going back in. Like, I mean, I guess as you guys, that's part of your job is to go and actually investigate this stuff. Others would take off bail, but I know if I saw something, I'd be like, oh, this is all, and I'd be gone. I'd be like, no.
Well, going down the zombie road, mm-hmm. there's been times where, you know, like, you always hear these people talking about like a heavy feeling, and it was the only way I can explain that heavy feeling is like if you swim really far in really deep water and you're like in water up to your chin, you can't catch your breath.
Oh, right.
And so we didn't walk very far down Zombie Road, and I had that feeling, and so did my partner. And there was this black thing, and it's hard to explain like a shadow figure, but it's blacker than black, and it was this black thing standing in the center of the, because back then it wasn't a bike trail, it was an old road that had washed out, and it was standing there. And I was like, "Do you see that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think I do see that." And then it ran straight between us.
Wow.
And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, "This is not the night to be down here." And we left. Yeah. We didn't run because, I mean, you know, they always make the jokes about dude run. But, I mean, if you run in a place like that, you're going to break your ankle, and then you're stuck down there with it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, who knows what will happen.
Yeah. I think especially that one, like something that creeped me out, just something with kids that just, and maybe especially now, like having my own, like it's just something even more like just, I don't know what the word is, like intense when it comes to like thinking about stories of kids that whatever happened to them, you know, that would just, even just the idea of it would freak me out. And then going down there, you know, it just would be nuts, I think.
Because it's a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really haven't had anything that is just terrified me to the point where I wanted to get out. I mean, I've had a few episodes where I've almost, you know, pooped my pants because it scared me. You know, the startle factor settles
in. That white castle.
I don't think that was a White Castle night, but
usually the startle factor is from a prank on somebody.
Yeah, it's usually somebody. We were at Tri-County. Last fall, we were at Tri-County, and there were, six of us sitting down in the basement. And,
oh, no, there was probably 10, because there was people there who paid.
And then, so we're sitting there down in the basement, and it's totally quiet, and all of a sudden, this woman's voice came very close to where we were sitting and said, "Jesus Christ." And one of our members was on the end, and he freaked out because he said that she said that right in his ear, right over his shoulder.
Yeah,
and he started getting a little freaky.
Yeah, he did,
because
I was sitting next to you on the floor, and I got up and I went and talked to him, and when I knelt down next to him, I knelt between him and a dude. And there was a guy sitting there, and there was a girl sitting. We have certain EMF detectors put off light, and I could see that there was an EMF detector all the way over on my right, and there was a lady sitting behind it. And so I talked to this member, and, you know, he's calming down, and I stand up, and I notice that the guy and the girl are gone. And I'm like, but she left the EMF detector. And a guy who comes to a lot of our events, Larry, Larry's like, "No, Jeremy, that's my EMF detector." And I'm like, I saw a lady sitting over there, and there was a dude. I mean, I knelt down next to that dude. He was 3 feet away from me.
Yeah.
And we're in pitch black. There's no way that they could have walked down, especially on the side that they are, because there's debris, there's stuff hanging from the ceilings. There's no way they could walk in the dark down there.
Snickers bars flying through the air.
That would be a prank, and that probably enacted your poop factor.
So we were, same night.
Same night.
I was down there with, I don't remember who I was down there with.
Danny.
Yeah, with one of my buddies that I brought, and
I was down there. I was sitting in the corner with Sarah, and
we went over to look at the. So we had like our DVD system set up downstairs. So we were walking over, and this basement is huge.
Yeah,
you could roller skate in.
Yeah, and so we were walking over to it, and then all of a sudden, this thing you hear it laying. You come hear it scooting. All of a sudden, then. I luckily was able to see them in the monitor before it came over, but Danny did not. So that poop factor may have entered into Danny at that point because he about hit his head on the ceiling.
Oh, man.
Now, I do want to say that I wouldn't prank people who just come to an event,
right?
But this is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So it's somebody that I knew.
All bets are off then.
That's
right. It's like,
right.
And so, like, basically, we were trying to see if the Mr. Bates is the man supposedly in the basement of Tri-County would knock this little square Snickers, you know, one of those 1-inch by 1-inch.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was sitting on the table, and I got dared to throw it at them. Because I was 100% sure that they didn't see us. And it's not like we were hiding. There's no place to really hide. We were just sitting at a table.
It's just pitch black.
Right.
You can't see your hand. And so, like, blindly, I just picked it up and threw it. Like, blindly. And just by chance, I hit one of them. I mean, I throw like a girl anyways. I mean, and the fact that I was like, I had won the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
It was
couldn't do that again if you tried, right?
No. I really didn't think it was going to even make it to them.
My wife had a freak out factor in Herman. We went down there for our 5th anniversary years ago and stayed at bed and breakfast. Then, of course, we'd been to the wineries all day. And she tries waking me up in the middle of the night, which didn't happen. But when we woke up in the morning, I mean, she's like, you didn't even notice it. You didn't even notice it. I'm like, notice what? She goes, from that closet door opened, and then it shut, and then this closet door opened, and then it shut. And I'm like, you know, you drank an awful lot of wine yesterday. Just calm down. And then, so we go downstairs for breakfast. And we're the only couple at the table at that point in time. And the owner comes out. She goes, so, did you guys get to meet our friendly ghost last night? And we were supposed to stay there for two nights.
Yeah,
and,
it just turned into one.
Yeah, it just turned into
one. But somebody didn't want to go back?
No.
You?
No.
She's like, oh, I can't wait to go check this out tomorrow. Like, honey, we're out of here. We're done. Get out. Not a chance.
No, that's just scary movies. I can't handle scary movies.
See,
no, I can't. I don't like scary movies. I can go sit in the dark at the creepiest place, and I will be fine.
That's probably but why I
can't
out.
Watch scary movies. Scary movies just creep me out. They'll keep me awake. I'll have to sleep with the lights on.
I love scary movies, and that's all I watch.
See,
what do you think's the most, like, you know, accurate, I guess, of all these movies coming around? Like, I know we watched The Conjuring together.
The Conjuring, first off, I'll say that may top The Exorcist as the scariest movie ever. But I haven't read the story of that one.
What was The Conjuring about? It sounds really familiar.
It's another exorcism story.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. And it deals with Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are famous for the Amityville Horror. A lot of people have seen the movie and they don't realize that it was like this huge thing, like in the paranormal community, I mean, too. And the people who were portrayed investigating the movie The Conjuring, and they're coming out with Annabelle now, they're most famous for Amityville. But as far as accurate, I mean, I don't know.
Don't look at me. I haven't seen it.
He's like, I don't even care.
I mean, they all take liberties. I remember seeing an interview with one of the priests, I think Father Halloran, and they were asking him about The Exorcist, and he's like, well, he did throw up, but he didn't throw up across the room, and, you know, what did he do, you know, and... You know, and they're doing this whole interview, and finally they're like, well, what did he do? And he's like, well, at one point he levitated off the bed about 3.5 feet. And he's like, why didn't you start with that one?
Right,
so, I mean, like, obviously, I'm going to go with The Exorcist because I know the most about that one.
Yeah.
And I know that, it was a boy, but he didn't kill anybody, and he also didn't twist his head all the way around.
Yeah.
But he did throw up a lot, and he didn't eat. And, you know, there's the scene where they pull up Reagan's stomach, and you can see there's scratching that says, help me. Well, in the real case, it said St. Louis, because he was, like, in Cottage City, Maryland. And that's how the whole thing moved here, was because it was scratched into his stomach, like, from the inside out. Yeah. So, I mean, there is some accurate things in there.
Hollywood's always got, I mean, just like anything else, you know, they always got to...
Because William Peter Blatty, he actually read the diary. He somehow got a hold of the diary. So, like, I mean, he was basing the book on, like, the diary that the actual priests wrote.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's why that one's pretty accurate.
Is there any like places that or like stories that you're like, I would love to go investigate that or go check it out? Like
Bobby Mackey's. I've always wanted to go there.
Give me the background on that, because I've not.
It's in Louisville, Kentucky, or just south of it. And a girl was, her head was cut off and it was thrown down a well. And then there's been cases ever since then. It's been an evil place. It's a bar now. Mm-hmm. And the custodian there was possessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have been killed there. You know, they go into rages and they kill each other. And there's been like an abnormal amount of bar killings in this place. And it's still a country western bar, and it has a warning over the door that warns you about it. Like, wow. You're entering at your own risk. So if you kill somebody, don't sue me.
Right, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, well, there's one that a buddy always told me about. It was like the Stairway to Hell or something like that. Have you ever heard of it?
There's a lot of those.
So many that, like, and I just wonder, like, because they're like, there's a guard out there protecting. And sometimes you're just like, that's more story than, like, what actually is going on. Like, I think people like to fabricate a little more than what's going on.
There's always a little. I've heard of the Seven Gates of Hell, which I think is maybe down that's south. What it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's Satan's Tunnel, which is totally bogus. I mean, that was Satan's Tunnel. People go out there all the time, and it was a story. The kids would go down there and drink, like in the 50s and 60s. And the owner, who lives in the first house right before it, would tell them that it's haunted, so they wouldn't so go down there and drink. And it brings down freaks like me, and it's not haunted. Yeah. I mean, there's no documentation. There's nothing. Nobody's ever really caught anything there, but they still go there. Right. I went there when I was in high school.
So. Yeah.
Is that where is that at?
Like up near Hawk Point.
You ever been up in Warrensburg by like CMSU? You ever go up that way?
I haven't, no.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I've been a little of everywhere.
I was
what is CMSU?
Central Missouri State
University. I've been near there, but I haven't done anything specifically there.
Well, there's like I don't know, I've had a couple buddies went to school there. And I, you know, visited it a few times, and like I remember there was, it's an old town. I mean, it's so I'm sure there's a lot of Civil War history and all that stuff through there. But I remember like there was like caves, and there was like a lot of weird stuff, you know, just going on in that area. And I mean, I heard stories, and obviously
I'm a history. God, I mean, I absolutely love history.
You're a history teacher.
Yeah. And, you know, every little town, you know, has its, if you dig deep enough, you know, you'll find some interesting and cool places, you know, or what happened. Yeah, Potosi, you know, south of here is.
We do a lot of stuff there, and Steve Austin, the founder of Austin, Texas, is buried there, and I think they tried to steal his grave.
Moses, Stephen F. Austin's dad.
Oh, it's his dad?
His dad,
Moses. And they're trying to steal his grave and take him back to Texas. And they actually wrote, like, an apology letter. Like, it was the state trying to do it.
Yeah.
Ha ha, Texas!
Yeah.
Didn't win that one.
Best of luck next time. So what are some of the crazier, and I don't want to say, like, backstories, but, like, what are some of the things that people say, hey, when you come check this out, this is like the story behind it, or what's going on. Like, I think, do you have any like where people are like, hey, I knew this guy, and I think it may be like, have you heard any just like absolutely crazy ones that come across? I mean, I'm sure you probably have.
Yeah. I mean, that we call it White Castle Night in Washington. Supposedly in that apartment, in that upstairs bedroom of that apartment, there was a young girl or young lady. You know, that had been messing with the Ouija board or you know, worshiping Satan and
I wish people would just stop doing that.
I know it's not. It's a lot of problems.
Nothing to do.
Asking for you know. you get a lot of stuff like that.
Animal sacrifices.
Yeah, animal sacrifices. When we moved into this house, you know, this is what this room looked like. It had, you know, this on the wall and stuff like that. And you know, there was a house where close to where I grew up, there's an abandoned house out in the country, and you know, devil worshipers, supposed devil worshipers were out there, you know, sacrificing animals and stuff like that. They end up tearing down the house. And a lot of times, you know, most of the time it's teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, you go into any abandoned building and stuff, and
they damage, they break in stuff.
Right.
Because it's one of the team's things that we do is we work to help preserve historic places.
Mm-hmm.
We've raised $27,000 that have all went specifically to help with historic buildings. I mean,
yeah, you know, like in Potosi, you know, is the Meinl Breton Historical Society, where you know, the people pay to come ghost hunt that night. We have three or four different places where they can go into that night, and we donate, you know, a large portion of what we take in to the historical societies or to whoever's like running a building, you know, to help renovate it and keep it up. And
that's awesome. I think sometimes, I mean, even if they say there's ghost stories behind certain places, sometimes the best thing is like the story behind just the history of it and saying like, this went down here. Even if it's not somebody was killed here, it's like this part of history in American history or wherever you go. And that's just for me, because I'm kind of a history just enthusiast as well, and like knowing that this is the place where something happened, even if it's not a murder or something, just significance is really appealing to me. And when like just going to visit those places is very cool, I think. And that's awesome you guys are helping to kind of keep, you know,
if we don't preserve those places, then we have no really cool place to do this at.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And because we are on a team, we get to go some places that a lot of people don't. So we hold, you know, public events where we take them ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And they can do that. And they go to these historic buildings, which are really, really cool places. And, you know, they pay some money. And the money goes, it's basically a donation to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do take some because we have operating costs. You got it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the vast majority of the money is reinvested. You know, there's Tri-County Truck Stop, which we go to fairly often. At one point was the world's largest truck stop. Wow. So, I mean, I think that was in the 40s and 50s. It was the world's largest truck stop. I mean, it's nothing compared to, like, Iowa 80 now. But back then, I mean, it was giant.
And once, you know, once the TV shows started hitting cable with regularity, then all of a sudden these ghost groups just came up out of the woodwork.
Right, yeah.
And so it's so saturated right now with all these different ghost groups. I mean, it's really tough. I enjoy doing private investigations.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the overnights. They're fun and all, but I like being able to get in and investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Small group of people, three, four, five team members go in and investigate and break down the evidence, but there are so many paranormal groups now that you know, getting, you know, requests, just they're not anywhere near what they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, because once, so the kind of the progression was, once ghost hunters came on TV, then everybody's house was haunted. So you got an influx of private investigations or people wanting investigations. Yeah. Well, in response to that, man, those guys are walking through these cool places in the dark looking for ghosts. I'm starting a ghost group. So now
everybody's an expert.
And it is. And you know, so it's a, you know, I don't know if the tide's reached its peak and as far as everything goes and you know, because the amount of shows on TV have dwindled, and I think that a lot of some of the shows that have gone away, and the fact that some of them were faked through the entire show, you know, has something to do with that, and you know, or you know, all the private residents that are haunted have already been investigated because there have been so many groups.
Right.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, with the influx of all those groups, and I'm not saying that every little group out there is unprofessional. I mean, there's plenty of groups I don't know, and you know, I'm not going to talk bad about anybody specifically, but there's a lot of small groups, And it's not that they're small, it's that they're unorganized. And, you know, we have like a whole process we go through. You know, we have a flyer. And, you know, some of these other groups, they send an email. You know, somebody sends them an email and they're like, we'll be there tonight. And right. It's like, no, we want to look at your, you know, we try and look at property history and, you know, we go through the... Go through their, you know, make sure that they filled out the questionnaire. Mm-hmm. He says, we want to make sure that we're doing them a service, you know. We don't charge for what we do, like, privately.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that all comes out of our pockets for doing that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, if somebody's going to charge you money to do that, it's unethical.
Right.
I mean, because then you're going to expect, well, I paid it. It better be haunted.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be a tough thing to sell if somebody's like, okay, I'm going to pay you money. And it's like, well, how do you charge somebody if maybe you didn't find anything? And there's just a side of that, and people are going to want to get what they pay for. And you can't expect to say, okay, I'm going to give you guys so much money. Come in here and check it out. And if you don't find anything, screw you guys for not.
You know, the cool thing was that, you know, if somebody would contact a ghost group and say, hey, this is what's going on in my house. You know, what happened a lot of is that person from that investigating team would say, ooh, that sounds like that's demonic. Ugh. You know, so the whole demonic thing became huge. Every haunting was, oh, that's demonic. Ooh, I saw that plate move. You better, you better get out of here. It's a demon.
It's a demon.
You're hosed now, man. We're out.
Red light.
Yeah, the red light.
You're not running
a
brothel. It's a demon.
Yeah. So you know, and so it's just, you know, people. That's the unfortunate thing that there have been, and there still are groups that are like that. That they want something to happen.
Yeah.
I go into an investigation expecting absolutely nothing to happen.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, I have no expectations unless I'm with Jeremy, then
it's way different.
One of us is going to do something stupid throughout the course of the night. But going into a private investigation, most of the time, I mean, yes, I believe in ghosts, but the amount of times that I have gone in someplace, and even if I didn't, we didn't catch anything the first time, and this family, you know, thinks, you know, I'm telling you, there's something here.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. We'll come back. Right. We'll come back another time.
And I've been to locations as many as 4 times.
And we'll go back, and, you know, and I'm not saying that if just because we don't capture any evidence 3 or 4 times, I mean, we're not saying that it's not, that you don't have something going on. We're just saying that we didn't catch anything.
Right.
And that's the one of the problems that has come out of this is that through the TV shows and everything, everybody expects you to find something.
Yeah,
always.
Well, always, you know, and it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
It's like fishing.
Right, yeah.
It's like fishing.
It's kind of like taking my car to the shop and like, it's making this noise, but it never does it when I'm at the shop.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the mechanics because my buddies are mechanics and they have that happen all the time.
Yeah.
And but it is exactly like that. I mean, we can't always prove it. And that, you know, we don't live there 24/7, 365 for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, that ghost may only appear to a young boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It may.
So you got to shave. You're like, okay, right. Yeah.
I mean, there was out towards Liberty. There is an old slave house. And the ghost of slaves would only appear to young black children. And that's it. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a white man. I'm not going to see that ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, we could set up cameras and you know, have some young black kids come in there and see if that's going to do it. I mean, that's the only way we could maybe capture something. But I mean, there's things that are so specific. Where I've had to be at a house at like noon because they see something at 2 p.m. You know, it's not always just in the dark. You know, I think people just pay attention more when it's in the dark because it's dark and
you know,
it's quiet. And houses are more haunted, amazingly, in winter because you're in there and you're cozy and you're next to your fireplace and you're reading a book and you hear everything.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, and what you kind of touched on with, like, these shows, that I have a hard time trusting any of the shows that are out there because I always think, whether it's ghost hunting or just reality TV, I'm like, that's staged, that's set up. I just, because I can't wrap my head, I know it's a product, I know they're trying to sell for ratings and things like that. Right. So it really, I think, kind of hurt you guys, because you guys sound like genuinely or insincerely to try and investigate. And it's not like you're trying to go for ratings or anything like that. You're genuinely...
We have no ratings.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like, you guys are sincere. And then there's those others who are like, see it probably more as an entertainment side. And come
back
and like,
but,
you know.
But if somebody were to come to me and right. ask me to do a but, TV show... I would not if say no.
I am always interested in making my money from ghost hunting.
If you guys are looking for some genuine ghost hunters, go here. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's just like zombies, like also, or ghosts. There's all of them. Yeah, they kind of sold out a little bit. But no, I'm just joking.
It I never said like I
guys,
wouldn't.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are sincerely, though, like going out and you're not just going out to make a buck. Like you guys right. go out and you really are interested in seeing what's going on here. And I think, like I said, you got to be realistic and go in and not expect that. Okay, well, I'm going out here. I'm going to see this. I'm sure, you know, like I said, you may go out there four times and not
right.
experience anything, but it doesn't mean that...
I mean, how many times have people been mad at me because I throw... I will throw everything out. I'll be like, eh, somebody might have farted.
Right.
I mean, literally, our equipment is similar to yours, and it's so sensitive, you can hear a stomach grumble.
Yeah.
And from across the room. And it's like, we gotta label everything we do. Oh, my yeah. stomach grumbled. That's why we had to write off some food before investigation. The rumbling.
We were getting ghosts like for a week straight. It was crazy. Do you think, like, and maybe this isn't really one that's like necessarily answerable. Do you think, what is the like the holy grail of something that would like make news and say, okay, this legitimately solidifies that there is like a, because... You know, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that you guys, people find, but, like, there's never a whole lot of, like, mainstream outside of shows. Like, is there something that you say, if this happened, this would absolutely prove that... It's a hard question because it is.
And it's, you know, so
somebody would poo-poo on it anyway.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and my 9-year-old daughter is loves watching Finding Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And just the other night, they had an episode where the BFRO sat down with a group of skeptics, and they're like, what would it take to make you believe that Bigfoot exists?
Yeah.
And they said, I want to see a body. I want to see bones. Well, yeah. with ghosts, it There's doesn't happen really, that way. Yeah. And that's why we say...
We need the proton packs.
And that's... I mean, that's either you're a believer or you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no middle ground on this. Like with Bigfoot, well, it could exist. It could be a different type of primate, but
you
but
get
with,
a physical evidence.
But with ghosts, I mean, there's no physical evidence. I mean, there has been some absolutely amazing footage that I look at it and I'm thinking, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff, I mean, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody else that's a skeptic that doesn't believe it, like, well, they just overlaid that image or
yeah.
did this, photoshopped it or did something like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there is any one, unless they have a personal experience.
That's what I was going to say. They're going to have to see it for themselves.
Yeah. Unless they have a personal experience. I think that's the only way that you could take a skeptic and turn them into a believer.
And there's been plenty of people who have been converted that way.
Yeah.
Because we have people on our team that don't believe in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe it's true. I mean, they're there to disprove it. Big Jeff. Mm-hmm. Big Jeff, that's like his main job. He's like, I'm going to figure out which duct is causing that noise.
Yeah.
And he finds stuff that I would have never come up with. And I'm pretty skeptical myself. And... You know, what we're trying to do is if you disprove everything and you still are left with this, well, that's some kind of evidence.
Right.
I mean, maybe science will be able to explain it in 25 years.
Right.
But they're not explaining it right now, which still leaves it paranormal.
Yeah, right. Well, and I'm kind of like, I'm one of those who see it to believe it, but you're right. Unless you don't experience yourself, then people are always going to be like, well, especially with technology, they just photoshopped it or video editing, especially with how much there is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. And that's probably just not a good question, because you're right. You can't necessarily say, okay, here's the evidence right here. Look, there it is.
Right.
You know, and then people are like, okay, look what they got, because you can't necessarily show hard evidence that this happened without people being like, well, wait a second, they probably did this or that. But I've always been like an open mind where it's like, I don't, you know, I have to see it, believe it, but I'm not going to just say it's Photoshop because I don't want to believe in ghosts because
right.
I think that's stupid. You know, it's people who are out to just, like you said, disprove it just because they don't want to be proven
right.
wrong.
Or they want their it's very dog eat dog between ghost hunting teams, and I try not to dog other ghost hunting teams, and you know, they fake that and they did this, and you know, we get it a lot of people talk about our stuff, and it's like, you know, if there was more harmony in the ghost hunting community, we might actually make more effort to move forward.
Right.
Instead, we're all, infighting.
Everybody wants that piece of the pie. A lot of groups are wanting to be, you know, the next Jason and Grant, or get their own TV show, or
Fishhook. Sorry, ghost hunters. Did I say that?
You know, or something like that, and where... Where I mean, the true aim of everybody involved, in a group that are investigators, should be, you know, kind of collaborating on everything and all the evidence to prove, you know, that ghosts do exist.
Yeah,
and to work together and you know, if this one I work when I was in Champaign and I had my own group, there was another group out of Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
It was about an hour away where we would help each other out on investigations when, you know, like I say, hey, I had this happen, but, you know, can you come over and help and see what you get or see what you think about it and vice versa. And there needs to be more of that.
Yeah.
But it is just so nitpicky and clicky. And I mean, it's basically, it really is. It's like a bunch of junior high girls.
Yeah.
You know, they have their cliques, and he's stupid, and you know, he faked this.
He fakes everything.
And he tweeted this about us, so I don't like him anymore.
It's a lot of that.
It's a ton of that. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's not going to go away.
Right.
I mean,
it's there. It's
not gonna, and social media has made it worse.
Yeah. It would be nice to be able to say, I have this here, and have an unbiased, or not necessarily unbiased, but somebody come in with a fresh set of eyes and say, oh, yeah, I see what you're doing. Or say, well, this is what it could be, without feeling like they're, like, something against your team. Yeah, like, well, we don't want them to come up with a big,
And then there's, you get to the backstabbing amongst groups. You know, a group member leaves and either spills the beans or makes up lies about the group that they were just in because they're going to go start their own group now.
And they end up leaving the new group for the same reason. And then the group that they leave. Yeah, I mean, it's a pattern that they establish anyways. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, we're trying to do something good for people.
Right. Yeah, goodness. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Like, so if somebody wants to reach out to you guys, you said go to theparanormaltaskforce.com. Is that correct?
.com. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter page. Right now, we do have events. We got this new one we've been trying out where we're taking, you know, I know some of the groups, they take places and they'll take 50 or 60 people. Well, we usually take 30, but we always do a review, and people are like, that's too many people. So we've been doing 10 to 13.
Okay.
And it costs a little bit more, but, you know, if you want to get into a giant, like we did one this weekend, and the place is big enough where somebody could have sat in separate areas, 13 different places and not been together.
Yeah.
And that was Mineral Springs. We have another event coming up, but we don't have that one. We don't have the date set, but we always put that on our Facebook page, our Twitter, and the website.
Yeah, so it can definitely be found. But like, this is a great, great conversation, guys. Like, I enjoyed it, and that's kind of somebody who, like I said, see it to believe it type of person. Like, I just love kind of hearing the stories and stuff like that. So it was awesome. So pleasure having you guys on.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, so check it out, ParanormalTaskForce.com, Twitter, Facebook, all the social media stuff out there for updates, and appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,